Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As you all are well aware, this past Wednesday in California, in San Bernardino, two people went into an office building and murdered 14 people and injured 21 others. And the ages of the 14 victims were kind of all over the place. One of them was as old as 60 and one as young as 26. Several young people, two of them were 27 years old, one was 31 years old. But if you add up all the ages of all 14 victims, add up all the years of life that were lived with all 14 of them, you get 587 years of life. That's kind of amazing, isn't it? 587 years of life had been lived. And then, how long did it take to take that 587 years away? Minutes. Minutes was all it took. The world passes away quickly. Not that long ago, we had the one in Paris, France. 130 people died there. And I couldn't find all the exact ages of all 130, but if you look through the list of victims there, the average age is around 35 to 40. If you kind of look, it was a little bit younger people, I think, because of the timing and where the attacks were. But if you just take an average of 35 years old, 130 people, you get a total of 4,550 years of life. That's a lot of years. 4,550 years of life. And how long did it take to end those 4,000 years? Minutes. The world passes away quickly. September 11th, which you all remember, or most of you remember, 2001, the World Trade Center. You know how long it took to build the World Trade Center? I was kind of surprised. I thought it might have taken a little longer, but to build both of the Twin Towers, total time took a little over 3 years. From the time they started building the first tower to the time they finished the second tower, just a little over 3 years. From 1968 to 1971. And even still, that's a long time, right? 3 years to be building something. That's a lot of concrete being poured, a lot of steel, a lot of bolts. I mean, just a lot of time. So 3 years to build those twin towers. And how long did it take for them to come down? Not long. The world passes away quickly. Not too long ago in our gospel readings, the disciples learn this, right? Remember, they were admiring the temple. And they said, wow, Jesus, check out this temple. I mean, this thing's going to stand here forever, right? Look at those stones. They're huge. They're massive. And it had taken, I mean, at one point, Jesus talked about the temple being destroyed. And the Jews said, it's taken 46 years to build this temple. What do you mean you're going to rebuild it in 3 days? They say to him, well, the thing was, King Herod had worked on that temple for a long, long time. But how quickly did that come down? In the year 70 AD, the Romans came in just like that. They destroyed it. It was gone, just like Jesus had said it would happen. The world passes away quickly. The trouble is, it's so easy to forget that. It's really easy for us to forget that things pass away. And so instead, what we do, we kind of just instinctively act like everything's always going to be here. Like it's always going to be the way it is right now. It's just kind of the way we think, the way we act. You know, it's easy to forget that everything passes away. So for instance, like our nation of America, we often have this idea that it's always been this way. America's always been this way. We've always been a great nation. We've always been a strong nation. Well, not really, right? But how old is America? Little over 500 years? There's a whole lot that happened before that. America has not always been here, and it's not always been the way it is today. In fact, America has changed a ton. And it's not always going to be this way because things pass away. Nations pass away. Or what about our hometowns? I'm really guilty of this with my hometown. I kind of have this idea that my hometown is never going to change ever. It's always going to be the same. So every time I go back, I expect everything to be the way it was when I grew up there, right? I bet some of you do that with your hometown or maybe with El Paso or Gridley. You know, I've heard things like this, that, you know, everything, oh, nothing in El Paso ever changes. Always stays the same, right? Well, obviously, it's not really true, right? El Paso is a little over 160 years old. That's not that old, not in the big scheme of things, right? El Paso has not always been this way. It's changed a lot. And in fact, there was a time it wasn't even here. I was trying to think of something little, just in the 5 years we've been here, how quick, you know, something you would think, oh, how quickly even El Paso changes. And the only thing I could really think of was restaurants. In just the 5 years we've been here, how many restaurants have come and gone? It's pretty remarkable. Some of them have come and gone in just the time we've been here. It's pretty crazy. Things change quickly. Your church. Oh, our church has always been this way. Well, not really. You know, this church is only, what is it, 65 now? Approaching 70? It's not that old. So things don't really always stay the same, do they? How many things really have always been this way? Not that many. The world passes away. And that's not only just when Jesus comes again. Yes, it will pass away then. But right now, the world passes away. However, that's not a cause for panic. It's not a cause for us to like run around screaming and yelling or go to a street corner and hold up a sign and say judgment day is coming or the world is falling, repent. No, it's not that. We don't have to panic. Jesus tells us very clearly in the gospel reading today, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. My words will never pass away. See, you've got something that's not going to pass away. Everything else, yes, it will. Okay, we should just plan on it. But his word will never pass away. His word, of course, became flesh. He became a person in the womb of Mary. He was born at Christmas. And we tried to kill that word. We tried to make that word pass away. We nailed him to a cross. But see, that the word of God just cannot die. He rose again Easter morning to never die again. And so that's why Jesus is telling you, look, everything's going to pass away, but don't worry. I'm not, and my word's not. Those remain forever. The word of God doesn't change or decay. One thing I've noticed lately in we've had so many things going on in the world, you know, it's like one thing after the next. And so the news doesn't even last a day. It just, you know, the next day is something new, and I guess it's always that way to some extent, but it seems like lately it's just more and more. And so the word of the news, it just decays so quickly. It passes away so quickly. God's word, no. Okay, his word isn't here one day and the next day it changes. It doesn't do that. It's always the same. Okay, if terrorists try to attack God's word, they cannot destroy it. They cannot tear it down. It just cannot happen. If atheists try to attack God's word or argue it away or disprove it, don't worry. It can't happen. His word cannot pass away, cannot be taken down, no matter what. It is a case of the world with an L versus the word. Okay, the world is fleeting, passing. The word is forever. It remains. So does this mean then that, well, okay, we don't care about the world then. Ah, it's all just passing away, to hell with it. Is that what we say to the world? To hell with the world. It's all going to die and pass away. Well, no, we know that's not right. We still care about the world. This is God's world. He made it. Yes, it's very corrupted by sin, just as we are corrupted by sin, but we still care. We still live in the world. We still care for other people. We still want to enjoy the world. So I want to read you again Jesus' words. He says, "Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down." That's a really good image. Yes, the world is passing away, but we still live in the world and we care about the world. However, we don't want the world to weigh down our hearts. You think about how your heart can get weighed down. Can something like what happened last Wednesday weigh down your heart? Yeah, makes it really heavy, doesn't it? Makes it hard to look up. Makes it hard to find joy. Our hearts get weighed down. Jesus mentions two very specific things. Don't let your hearts get weighed down by drunkenness. Now, we all can understand this. I mean, alcohol is a great gift of God, but if it's weighing down our hearts, That's a problem. Any drugs can weigh down our hearts to a point that we don't see God's word anymore. That's a problem. Or he says, don't let your heart be weighed down by the cares of this world. How about stuff? Man, that can weigh down our hearts. Think about it. How big of a truck would it take to move the things in your house? Probably like a 53-foot semi. How much does that thing weigh? That can weigh down your hearts, right? Stuff. Jesus says, don't watch yourselves. Don't let your hearts get weighed down by all this stuff that's just passing away. Or cares of the world, sickness, people dying. This is hard, heavy stuff that can weigh us down. Don't get weighed down, Jesus says. Take the world in moderation. Take it in moderation. Look at the world as something that is important but also passing away. So we're going to be moderate in how we approach the world. We're not going to let it weigh our hearts down or distract us from God's word in Christ. I've used this image before. Luther uses it. He says you should have a left hand hold on the world and a right hand hold on God's word. That's, of course, if you're right-handed. Because you're right-handed, right hand's your strong hand. If you're left-handed, you reverse it. But left hand, your weaker hand, that's what you hold on to the world with. And yes, you live in it, and you take care of it, and you enjoy it, but you can let go of it any minute you need to. It's not weighing down your heart. But with the word of God, now that we grasp with our right hand, we hold on for dear life. And no one is going to take that from us. Because that's eternal. That's our hope, our joy. Watch yourselves, he says. Don't let your hearts get weighed down. Be faithful in confessing your sins. Because remember, confessing your sins is getting that weight off of your heart. Be faithful in confessing your sins. Be faithful in prayer, in casting your cares to the Lord, getting that weight off your heart. Be faithful in church every Sunday, because that's where your heart is empty and rejuvenated and your heart is given strength. Be faithful. Watch yourselves, he says. And keep your heads up. Keep your heads up. He says, when you see these signs coming, look up, because I'm coming. Keep your heads up. And what I would say he's getting at here is actually plan for Jesus to come. Actually plan for him to come. It's crazy, some of the things that we plan for. And I know you've all noticed this, just like I have. Isn't it crazy how many commercials there are now for planning for retirement? And of course, that's because, you know, baby boomer generation, all retiring, right? So we're all investing for retirement. But it is just, it's like a fascination now. Like all of my life is oriented toward one day I get to retire. It is very odd. I mean, it's just all over the place. You better be saving for retirement, better be planning for retirement. Well, I'd like to think that I have some life to live before that, right? Retirement is not the be-all, end-all. How about investing in something more important, like investing in prayer? Investing in God's word, investing in the Lord's Supper, investing in talking to others about Jesus. Why don't we plan for something that is more certain? We don't even know about retirement. There's a good chance I won't even make it to retirement. Or by the time I'm ready to retire, that the world may be in shambles. So I'm going to plan on something better. I'm going to invest in that. Or planning for vacations. I'm really bad at this one. I'm sure some of you are too. Like your whole year is just, the rest of your year is just also that you can go on that vacation. I'm really bad about that. Planning for vacation, looking forward to them, you know. But what about the ultimate vacation? This is finally where I want to give you that parable that Jesus tells. He says, look at the fig tree, right? Fig tree blossoms, what do you know is coming? Summer, right? What about the ultimate vacation? You know, he doesn't say, look out, here comes winter, you're all dead. No, here comes summer. Right? The joy of that ultimate paradise, that ultimate vacation. Why don't we plan for that? The signs are everywhere. The world is passing away. It's not a secret. All we have to do is open our eyes and see it. The world is passing away quickly. But you have the Word. You have Jesus, and He will never pass away. So plan for Him. Keep your heads up for Him. He is coming soon. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.